again want to welcome you this morning, and let's just begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into it. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you today again through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you that we can come here this morning and study your word and study about studying your word. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. We thank you that you have given us your word in the written word. We thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit that enlightens us and teaches us and guides us. We pray that you would enable us by your grace day by day to be faithful, to study your word, to seek your face. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Enable us to be faithful to you by your grace. Lord, bless our time together today, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let me just remind you again, because there are still some of the books left back there. If you didn't get a book last time, you can pick one up back there by R.A. Torrey. Again, I would encourage you to read it. That's a very good place to start, I think. It's basic, but basic is good. I know some of you, I think, have already read it before this class, and it's a book that I've spoken about before, but if you want to turn, first of all, to page 11 in your syllabus, lesson 5, Practical Considerations in Studying the Bible, and turn to Colossians 3 in your Bible. Let me just begin by saying a word about, what I want to emphasize this morning is really the practical aspect of actually just making time to study the Word of God. And I realize that in many cases here, I'm preaching to the choir, so I understand that in a lot of cases. I also want to emphasize this with the young people in this room, because the younger you are when you start good habits in regard to studying the Word of God, the easier it is. It really is. It's harder and harder to change habits as you get older. And life gets very, very busy. And if you don't set the habit early, if you don't make the habit early, in many cases, you'll never do it. You know, it'll be something you think you'll do someday, but you won't. So let me begin by reading Colossians chapter 3. I just want to start here because I want to emphasize the importance of making daily time in the Word of God. Colossians 3, verse 1 says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And that's really a command that we have to actually obey daily. We have to continually learn to seek the things that are above and to set our affections, that's what the King James says. This says set your mind on. Set your mind on, set your affections on things eternal. The only way you can do that, there is no other way, the only way you can do that is by spending time alone with God in the Word of God. That is the only way you can set your affections on things above. If you don't actually set your mind on the Word of God, if you don't make the Word of God the center of your life, you won't do it. The things that the affections, your affections in your mind will always be on something else if you don't consciously put it on, first and foremost, the Word of God as the center of your life. So I want to emphasize, this is not merely, and we talked about last time, we mentioned, you know, use the analogy of exercise, and that's a good analogy to a degree, but I understand it's more than just exercise. If you don't do it, it's not the end of the world, right? But listen, if you don't take time in the Word of God, it has far more important ramifications. This is a spiritual thing. I was thinking of the hymn this morning, Take Time to Be Holy, which we sing occasionally, but I want to remind you that it does take time to be holy, and it's absolutely necessary. I just want to read two of the verses from that hymn by William Longstaff. It says, the first line says, take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting nothing, his blessing to seek. And then the second verse, he says, take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Much time spend in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. And I want to emphasize the fact that you really do have to take time with the Lord daily in order to actually become like him. And that's what this, I love this, the world rushes on. Much time spend in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. There's no other way to become like Christ, to be made in his image, than to take time alone in the Word of God, on your knees. Not necessarily literally, although sometimes that's good too. Literally, humble before the Lord in the Word of God. And I'll give you one more quote. This is from the bulletin last week. Thomas Brooks, the Puritan, his book on prayer, The Privy Key of Heaven. Privy means private. But at any rate, I think. I know that's Old English. Is that what it means? This is what Thomas Brooks wrote in that book. Certainly, the more any man is now under the blessed pouring of the Spirit of Christ, the more that man gives himself up to secret communion with Christ. Every man is more or less with Christ in his closet, as he is more or less under the anointings of the Spirit of Christ. The more any man has of the Spirit of Christ, the more he loves Christ, and the more any man loves Christ, the more he delights to be with Christ alone. And then he says this, slothful and idle persons commonly lie so long abed and spend so much precious time between the comb and the glass and in eating, drinking, sporting, and trifling. Now, if that doesn't describe America, I mean, that was Puritan England when he wrote that, that they can find no time for private prayer. Certainly such as had rather go sleeping to hell than sweating to heaven will never care for much for closet prayer. And that's true. There are so many, and I mean, it's overwhelming, really. There are so many distractions in this life. And it's amazing to see how incredibly creative we are in wasting time. I mean, it's just that it's like I often liken it to closet space in a house. We don't have a real large house, and we don't have a lot of space. But you know, if you have any extra space, it's like a vacuum; it just sucks it all. And that's how it is with time, right? There's always something to suck your time. You know, it might be it's just there has to be, and this is my point here. There has to be a conscious effort, a conscious choice, a conscious stubbornness that you will put God first every day. Not some days, not occasionally, but every day. Now, I will tell you the rewards of that are immense. They're overwhelming. But you don't really oftentimes reap it until down the road. I mean, oftentimes you don't see it clearly until afterwards. But the benefits of it are overwhelming. And I want to emphasize, again, in this morning's time here in the first lesson, just the importance of setting that side of time. I want to emphasize in the notes here, first of all, the consistency of daily Bible study. There is no substitute for consistency. You could spend, 10 hours a day for a week in the Bible and then go months or years. That would be much worse than if you just spent, 20 minutes to half an hour consistently every day for the next 40 years. It's hard to overemphasize the necessity of consistency. It's the daily thing. And by the way, this is just a principle generally in life, actually. When you actually look at the most important principles in life that had to do truly with things like your marriage, finances, taking care of your body, basic things, most of it is not so much that it's not rocket science, it's just consistency. If you look at daily life, it's about being consistent. And the most important thing by far in your life that you're consistent with must be time in the Word of God. It is more important than sleep. It is more important than eating. It is more important than working. It is more important than your family. It is more important than anything in your life. It is the priority. And that's where I want to emphasize here the idea of consistency and priority go together here. But it must be a priority. Look again at Matthew 6:33, which I know you're familiar with, but this is again the Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking in the context here about prayer and about anxiety and about our attitude towards money and the cares of this life. And he kind of summarizes this section, which really is chapter 6, with this statement, verse 33. Well, I'll read verse 32. I'll go back to verse 31. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. And if you doubt that, just go to the mall. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is not saying that if you seek first His kingdom that He's going to give you everything you want in regard to material things. But what He's saying is that if you seek first the kingdom of God, then what? What's that? It's the most important thing, and He promises what? He will provide not necessarily what you want, but what you need, right? And I will tell you this, and it's especially true here in America, but truly, I mean, you realize what He's given us materially and physically is way beyond what He's promised. I mean, God is goes so beyond His promises, right? He actually says in 2 Timothy, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. He doesn't even mention a house, right? Just food, not even a place, just food and clothing. If you have food and clothing for today, you are to be content. So, He's not promising that, you're going to have a big, retirement and have lots of money in the bank. He's just saying that if you seek Me first, I will take care of you. And you know what? He does. But you have to seek Him first, right? And that means it's really, and I could just put it this way, it's a conscious decision every day. You have to seek first the kingdom of God. And the only way you can do that is by taking time alone with God. You must make God the first priority every day in your life. And it's a choice. It's more than just taking time to say, I'm going to read my chapter. I mean, you understand that? It's more than, I would say it this way. You can spend time in the Word every day and not grow as a Christian, or quite frankly, not even be a Christian. Right? Do you understand that? I mean, there are people that read their Bible every day that aren't even saved. That doesn't guarantee that you're saved. But I will say this, that you cannot grow in Christ unless you are regularly in the Word of God and in prayer. You understand that? I mean, that's an absolute minimal. I mean, that's how you grow. You must make it a priority in your life. And it's a way, really, of saying to the Lord, you are first. You are more important than my school. You're more important than my work. You're more important than my family. You're more important than entertainment. You're more important than sports. You're more important than my grades. The Lord is everything. And you must put him first daily. He's more necessary. The word is more necessary than eating or exercise or work. Again, Deuteronomy 8:3. Remember when they were in the wilderness, God tested them. God tested the Israelites in the wilderness. It says, and I'll start in verse 1, and he says, all the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, and this is why he did it, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. You know, the Lord will take you through times in your life. I think every Christian goes through this. Every truly born-again Christian at some point will come to the place in their life where they are tested. And they come to realize that the word of the Lord is more important than anything in life. And that's why the Lord takes us through those times. That's why the Lord took them through the wilderness, to show them. You know, they were in want, right? I mean, and what did it show them? That he was their provision, that everything that they needed came by the word of the Lord, including their daily food. There's nothing more important than receiving and trusting in and believing and understanding the word of God. And Job said the same thing pretty much in Job 23:12. He said, your word is more important than my daily food. I also want to observe, turn to Matthew 13. Yes.
If I could say too, that's impressive that Deuteronomy passage, because the first generation of Israelites had a very short time and failed miserably quickly. The second generation had 40 years effectively in the wilderness day by day in order to prepare themselves to enter the land.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, you know, what was the evidence that they weren't trusting in the Lord?
Complaining all the time.
They were constantly complaining. Why were they complaining? Because they did not what?
They did not want what he provided.
They didn't really believe in the word of the Lord. They didn't trust the word, right? We have to take all of our, we have to see all of life through the word of God. Remember, you are not here fundamentally to make a living. You're not here to make a name for yourself. You're not here to enjoy life. You're not here to see the world. You're not here to, you know, set up a monument to yourself so that when you die, they remember you. You're here for one reason. As a Christian, the world doesn't understand this. You are here to glorify God, to know him, and to live for him and to serve him. That's it. I think what we're going to do, I really believe this, when we get to heaven, what we're going to find is the greatest men and women and children in the church are people whose names we've never heard. I really believe that. I think all the big names you hear, I don't think those are the people who are going to be, it's going to be the people you've never heard. You've never heard their name. God is not impressed with giftedness. He's impressed with faithfulness. It's daily faithfulness. Trusting in Him. But there is a temptation, and I think we have to be aware of this. You know, it says in Matthew 13:22 regarding, again, this is the parable of the sower. It speaks about the seed that was that ended up on thorny ground. It says in verse 22, "And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Notice it's kind of two sides of a coin there. One is the sense of worrying about money, and the other is one about, you know, constantly seeking money. Those things will completely choke out the word. Why? You're not trusting God to begin with.
No foundation.
Spending all of your time. That's really the issue, right? It has to do with time. Why people don't set their affections on things above? Because they don't take time to be holy. They don't take time to set their affections on things above, and so they don't. And if you don't, then what will happen? I mean, you will be consumed with this world. And that's exactly what happens. So, you have to make it your priority. And I will say, and I hesitate to give too many, but I will just say this. The Lord is so overwhelmingly good to those who seek Him first. And what I mean by that is He will change you, but also He will work in amazing ways that you can't even measure, you can't even explain. But when you set Him first, when you put Him first in your life, day by day, He will always work things out. I could give you some examples, I suppose, but I just emphasize the fact that you know, people say they don't have time or they're too busy, but really, they don't understand. When you set time aside for the Lord in truth and make Him first in your life, He will always, it's amazing how He will arrange your schedule. He will solve problems that you don't even have to deal with. This happens to me all the time. And you just say, it's things I don't even have to deal with. I just pray, I say, Lord, and He works it out. I don't even do anything. The Lord does that when you put Him first. He will solve your problems. It doesn't mean you don't have to think sometimes. It doesn't mean you don't have to make choices. All I'm saying is He just works things out. You must put Him first. And He will take care of these things. So I say it's a priority. Every day we set aside time. And I would say a couple things. Here, practically speaking, choose the right time. You know, we have to think about the time of the day. I think it's important to think in terms of, listen, there ought to be a time every day you say, this is my time for the Lord. It ought to be a time when you have quiet, when you have, when you're alert and you don't have distractions. It ought to be a time, I will say, it's a good thing to think about doing it in the morning, simply because if you're like me, once you get going, you know, it's just you can't focus on Scripture in the middle of the day oftentimes because you have all this stuff going on and your mind's busy. And even at the end of the day, right, you have all this stuff that happened that day, and it's very difficult sometimes to just stop and put all those things out of your mind and focus on the Word of God. But in the morning, your mind is fresh. And before you check your emails and before you, you know, check the news on the web, and before you get going, and before you get all those emails of all the things that you have to solve that day, because that's what you get, right? I mean, I don't have that so much, but I mean, I know some of you do, I'm sure. You get emails over the night that you didn't see, and it's like, now you're starting to think, right? And you got all this stuff. Well, I got to do this today, and I got to do this today. Before you get on that track, right? Before you're down that road, you need to stop. And you need to set your affections on things above. You know what? Those problems will be okay for another hour. They will. There's always another thing. You understand that? There's always something else to do besides seek the Lord. Always. You have to consciously set it aside. Again, choosing a time where you have quiet, where you don't have distractions. Turn your cell phone off if you must. Seriously, it's a distraction, right? You get the little text, oh, I better go check what... Just put it away, turn it off. You know, they'll be fine for an hour. And set your mind on eternal things. Now, by the way, what you're going to find as you do that is you're going to be less and less concerned about earthly things. You're going to find that your thinking changes about these things. The things that you thought were so urgent and so important, you're going to realize aren't. It's going to change your attitude towards your life and regarding what, you know, the things that you thought were so absolutely, everything is urgent today. Listen, most of it is unimportant urgency. The one thing urgent for you today, my friend, is to seek the Lord. That's the one thing, the only thing that is truly urgent. Because you know what? You might be before the throne of God before the day is out. Do you realize that? The moment you pass into eternity, all this urgent stuff is going to be all of a sudden irrelevant. You must treat every day that way. Every day. There's nothing more important than seeking the Lord. Every day. You must put Him first. Take this time, set it aside, and then there's the question of length of time. And there's a challenge here. I would say you want to, and by the way, I think it's important to say a length of time. And what I mean by that is this. If you don't say length of time, if you don't actually consciously say, okay, I'm going to set aside this time to seek the Lord, what you'll do, you'll start thinking in terms of, well, I got to get through this so I can go on and do the other stuff, right? So you'll start saying, well, I got to read this chapter quick so I can move. No, you got to think in terms of, listen, I'm going to set aside this hour for the Lord. I'm going to put aside the distractions of life, and I'm going to seek the Lord and set my affections on things above. Okay? So how long? I honestly recommend an hour. That sounds long, but if that seems overwhelming, I would say at least a half hour. You have to set aside, and you just have to say, and I'm not saying in a legalistic way, as if, you know, God's demanding, but I'm just saying, practically speaking, I don't know about you, but oftentimes it takes me a good 10 minutes just to, like, get my mind totally focused on what I'm reading. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you suffer from the same thing. You read a chapter and say, "Wait, what did I just read?" You have to kind of consciously get your mind focused. You have to pray and ask the Lord to kind of cleanse you of thinking about. And I pray this, Lord, help me to set aside, you know, all these other things. Sometimes you have to consciously begin by saying, "Lord, help me to forget about this, you know, contract I'm dealing with today," and just set that aside. I leave that with you. Just help me to focus on the Word of God, not on everything around me. You know, if you have problems that you're dealing with or things you're worried about, you have to pray and say, Lord, I leave those with you, and ask Him to enable you to concentrate on the Word of God and not on the things of this world. That takes time. I mean, it really does. It takes time. You can't just, like, rush through that. Right? You have to consciously set aside that time. When I was in high school, I was challenged by a youth speaker in New York to take, this was his challenge, which was for a month to watch no television and to spend an hour every day in the Word of God. And, you know, that's life-changing. That really is. And I think that really emphasizes the, you know, the two sides of it, because there's a sense in which you have to stop putting junk into your mind and you have to fill your mind with the truth. And I think that that's a good habit to get into. If you can spend an hour a day to make that time, I think that's that, what you're going to find is if you do that, it's going to change. It's going to change the way you think and feel about, you know, all that's going on in the world. You're going to find less and less interest in the things you used to take interest in. I will tell you, I always loved football, and when I was growing up, I watched a lot of football. I mean, I was an Eagles fan. But you know what I found is over time, I don't really care. I don't really want to watch football anymore. From the standpoint of, it's too much time. And it's simply because, it's not because anybody told me you can't watch football. It's because, you know, it's not important to me. As you set your affections on eternal things, your desires are going to change. Your priorities are going to change very naturally. Okay? But you have to make this first. You have to make the Lord first in your life. You have to consciously lay your life before Him day by day and trust Him and seek His face. So I would say, you know, now again, I realize some of you guys have schedules where you're really up early, and I'm not telling you it has to be first thing in the morning, but you have to find a time where you say, this is for the Lord. And maybe for some of you it is in the evening, and maybe for some of you it's at lunch and whatever, but take time somewhere in your day. I think it is important to at least take a few minutes in the morning before you get started, even if it's maybe not your main time. I think it's important to take a few minutes in the morning, read His Word and pray and ask the Lord for wisdom for that day and seek His face. But maybe your main time with the Lord is maybe in the, maybe before you go to bed. And that's fine. I mean, everybody has to find their time. Choose the right place. You know, an undisturbed private place. You know, I will say, you know, have my my wife call it, she calls it for herself, she calls it her corner. She has her corner, you know, she's got her books and she's got her, you know, it might be a chair in the living room, it might be the study, but make, again, a quiet place that you can, this is every day, this is where I go, I'm undisturbed. If you have a family, you might have to go into a room and close the door and whatever, but it's a place that's private, where you're not going to be interrupted, where nobody's watching you. It's you. I love that picture that Jesus makes of, again, it's Matthew 6, right? The closet, right? Go into your closet. I love that. I love that picture. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room or closet, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So go into that place, whatever that place is. For me, it's my study. And I often tell people, and I know studying is not, but oftentimes in prayer, I mean, this is just a habit that I got into, and I recommend it, you know, kneel. Get down on your knees and pray to the Lord. And spend time in prayer on your knees. And study the Word of God prayerfully. Okay, so that you're not just finding out information, but that you're actually in the study of the Word, you are humbling yourself before the Lord. It's an attitude. And we should come before the Lord truly with reverence. In regard to study, and let me just take a couple minutes here. I don't want to... Chris is going to be teaching the second one, so I don't want to steal his time. So let me just real quickly go through these last couple of things here. Begin with something simple. When I say begin, I mean begin studying the Word. Don't overwhelm yourself. As we're talking about studying the Bible, with some huge project, but begin with something simple. Like study, simply say, I'm going to study a psalm. Take psalm, like something you even know, maybe like Psalm 23. So I'm going to study that out. Or I have down here Psalm 93. That's a very impressive little psalm. It's not very long, but it has a lot of theology in it. Psalm 93, Psalm 100. Or study a short book. I remember when I was a kid, and I, for whatever reason, I was had an interest in the prophets. And I remember I would always study the minor prophets because they were short. You know, they're only three chapters. So take a book like Jonah, right? Study it out. You know, or a book in the New Testament like Titus, which is a there's a lot in that little book, three chapters. You could memorize it, but even if you don't, right, there's so much in there. Study that little short book. Jude, you know, I spent 2 years in that at Sorrento Study. There's a lot in there, right? There's a lot in there. But just take a short book, study it, or take a chapter like 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter. And study it. And you say, how do you study it? Well, that's what we're going to talk about next, right? But start with something simple. Don't begin with Ezekiel or Leviticus because, you know, you're going to be overwhelmed and you say, oh. Okay, start with something that's basic and study it. And what happens is as you study, and it's true, as you study, the Lord gives you a love for his word. It really does come through study. As you begin to see things for yourself, not because a commentary said it, not because a study Bible note said it, but because you see it, because you studied it, what you're going to find, you're going to own it, and you're going to delight in it. And the Lord will teach you, and you'll be blessed. And you see, and what's going to happen is when you make it a commitment over time, what you're going to find more and more is that you can't be without it, that you... You know, you wish you could spend more time than you can. That's what's going to happen, right? And that's what the psalmist meant in Psalm 119. You know, he said, your word is like honey, you know, sweeter than honey, and I desire it. And, you know, that comes as you set the priority, okay? Begin studying something of particular interest to you. Maybe you have a passage or a topic that you really have interest in. Start with that. Vary your study. Don't just do the same thing every time you study, but study, maybe study a book, maybe then study a psalm or study a character. You know, go. You know, you don't have to feel like you have to systematically start in Genesis 1 and go through Revelation and, you know, just, you know, start with something simple and then vary it and do different things. And then I will say, keep a record of your study. Now, today with computers, it used to be you had to write notebooks and stuff, but now with a computer, you know, I always do stuff like, it's so handy now with the software that you have and stuff. You know, use a computer if you're not into computers, that's fine, just write, but make a record of what you study. Write down, you know, the things you learn, the things you observe. Write down your observations. You know, and actually make a study, put together a notebook of your study. And what that does is helps you to actually be disciplined in that regard. Now, does anybody have any questions? Todd?
Is there a passage of scripture that you find yourself personally, like, going back to study?
You know, honestly, the longer I live, the more of those there are. Because... You know, there are certain passages that I find myself going back to over and over again. One of them is John 14 through 17. That I still think is one of my all-time favorite passages. I would say I probably have spent more time in Psalm 1 than any other passage in the Bible. You know, you go back to Isaiah 53. And it's hard to say because, you know, you go through seasons, you know. But yeah, there are passages like that. I think, yeah, Roger.
Do you recommend maybe 15, 20 minutes of prayer first and then go to the...
Well, I would put it this way. I mean, how you use the time, you know, might vary from day to day. But I would say, you know, my thought is you begin... you begin by, you know, with prayer. But again, I think there's room for variation there in terms of the thing about prayer and the thing about coming to the Word is you want to come with the right heart. You don't want to just come from the attitude of, well, I got to get this passed because I got a lot to do today. You have to consciously in your mind, and this is the difficult part, you have to consciously in your mind seek the Lord and set your face toward Him for the day. And so some of that is prayer without question, because you have to consciously, you really are consciously saying, Lord, not my will but yours, and you know, I am a vessel in your hand, and please accomplish your will in my life and enable me to seek your face in everything I do today. So some of that without question is prayer. You know, I always think of it this way, that the Word of God should never be divorced from prayer, and prayer should never be divorced from the Word of God. Those two always, you know, go together. So, yeah, Daniel.
I have two hopefully quick and helpful comments. Whenever I think about competing affections, I always think of it in terms of like what was taught on Wednesday night here by Kevin about what Satan's influence is on us. You know, if you think about the influences on our life, the things that we set our affections on, is that something that maybe Satan would use and celebrate if you would set your affections on these things or these distractions, or something that he would feel foiled again by if you avoided it? So if you think of it in terms of spiritual warfare and always keeping your guard up, that sometimes lends to that sense of urgency that we ought to have. And then number two, the way that the world responds or thinks about their affections is the world sort of sets their affections for them, their environment. They tell them what they should want, what they should care about. And then the worldling goes about trying to modify his external circumstances to meet those expectations, to meet those affections. And we can do that as well. But just like Dean was talking about, when we're commanded to set our affections on things above, you know, number one, it's the Lord who has to do that ultimately by way of the Holy Spirit in our life. But number two, it's a command to us. And the way that we set our affections there is not so much by, like the worldling, they're set for us and we follow. You can modify your affections by what you put into your mind, like he was talking about. But it's both something that needs to passively be done to us, and it's a command. And the way that we obey that command is by putting it in our minds that our affections will trail after that. And so, if you think about somebody who needs to change, you know, you can't just change everything about them. But if you could change what they want or what they like, then they'll automatically change.
Yeah, and that's what God, through study of the Word and through a genuine calling upon Him daily and seeking His face, it's through that He does over time. It is over time. It's not something that happens like this. He changes. He does change your affections. And He will change. It will change your priorities. It will change the way you live. It will change the way you will become like Christ. That's how He does it. There's no substitute. But to Daniel's point and Kevin's lesson was really good on Wednesday night about Satan. The thing about Satan is this: where he always gains a foothold in the life is in the area of your lusts. Which is another way of saying your what?
Affections.
Your affections. That's where Satan will always gain a foothold. When you set your affections on Christ, you submit to Christ in your life and seek Him first, truly, above all else. It's not just a matter of putting Christ, some people think of, okay, Christ is first, my wife is second. No, put that away. It's just Christ. Okay? It's Christ. Everything is Christ. And when you put Christ first, truly, and you submit to Him in your life, Satan can gain no foothold. Now, he might, in God's providence, bring great difficulties into your life, Job, but he can't gain a foothold. He can't. Tom?
You know, just kind of in everything you said, the first thing rattling around my brain, which is Romans 2, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. And it's literally, the patterns are all changed the more time we spend with the Lord. He just transforms our lives for our desires and our wants.
He does, and it's a process. And I'll just say this, one other thing. If you actually consciously say, I'm going to do this every day, and I know some of you, I mean, many of you already are, I'm not. But if you consciously do this, I guarantee you, probably within the next 2 days, something's going to come up that's going to challenge it. I guarantee it. You have to be stubborn. And I mean stubborn. You have to say, no matter what it takes, I'm going to put the Lord first. So, and don't be discouraged. You know, if you miss a day or whatever, or something happens, don't be discouraged. It's not about having a perfect record of being in the Bible every day. It's about consciously setting your affections on the Lord. Well, let's stop there, and then Chris, let's come back in 5 minutes, and then Chris will teach you. We'll get a little bit more into the practical aspect of, okay, what do we do when we study the Bible? So that's what Chris is going to start.